reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, who opens a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, who leads out chariots and horsemen, a powerful army, till they lie prostrate together, never to rise, snuffed out and quenched like a wick. Remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago, consider not. See, I am doing something new. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? In the desert I make a way, in the wasteland, rivers. Wild beasts honor me, jackals and ostriches. For I put water in the desert and rivers in the wasteland for my chosen people to drink. The people whom I formed for myself, that they might announce my praise. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
the sowing. They come back with a song, beating their sheaves.
Reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, I consider everything as a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have accepted the loss of all things, and I consider them so much rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having any righteousness of my own based on the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God, depending on faith to know him and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by being conformed to his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. It is not that I have already taken hold of it or have already attained a perfect maturity, but I continue my pursuit in hope that I may possess it, since I have indeed been taken possession of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I, for my part, do not consider myself to have taken possession. Just one thing, forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead, I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him so that they would give some charge and bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he bent down and wrote on the ground, and in response they went up one by one, beginning with the elders. They went away, so he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord.
My dear brothers and sisters, the gospel reading for this Sunday is often called the woman caught in adultery. However, focusing in on the woman or on adultery, it misses the main point of the gospel reading. The Lord is teaching us about the power of love and the consequence of hate. And this incident took place because Jesus' enemies were looking for a way to attack him. They set up a trap using the woman. They were not concerned about her or even her sin. They were concerned about finding a way to destroy the Lord. They viewed his teaching negatively. And he guided people to recognize that love had to be at the heart of the law. This was a challenge to their authority because it put people in the position of seeing through the actions of their leaders. The Pharisees were not motivated by the love of God, or even, in reality, the love of the law. All they cared about was their love was being motivated by their positions of authority. That's all. They were motivated by their hatred for Jesus, who challenged any authority that did not reflect the image of the Creator. They had stones in their hands, and they really wanted to throw them at Jesus. There was a Jewish law that said that a woman caught in adultery should be stoned to death. A woman caught in adultery. Not a man, a woman caught in adultery. And Joseph, the Lord's foster father, he knew this. And he originally had decided to send his pregnant betrothed Mary away to protect her from that law. Joseph was a righteous man, one who would do what God wanted. The Pharisees never even consider whether they were doing the will of God, so that they devised this devious plot. Since Palestine was under the domination of Rome, the Romans would not allow the Jews to kill anyone. Therefore, if Jesus said that the woman should be stoned, his accusers could denounce him to the Romans as challenging the authority of Rome. If Jesus said that the woman should not be stoned, then his accusers could say that he violated the law of God and promoted immorality among the people. So you see a two-edged sword that Jesus was facing. Jesus knew. He knew what was happening. He knew what was really happening when the woman was dragged before him. And the second chapter of the Gospel of John ends with the phrase, Jesus did not need anyone to testify about human nature, because he himself understood it well. He was aware of the sin that the woman committed. He was also aware of the sins of those who were accusing her. The tradition says, and I like this tradition, that when he was writing in the ground, we don't know this to be true, but I kind of like this tradition. When he was writing on the ground, he was writing the sins of the elder, that he knew everything that they had committed, all the sins that they had committed. Here, as throughout Scripture, his main concern was love and charity. But there was a premeditated hatred in the actions of those who accused this woman. And their focus was on the hatred of Jesus. And the woman was merely being used as an opportunity for the enemies of God to attack the Lord. Not much has changed. If we know society today, not much has changed. And I intentionally mean this phrase to sound diabolical, because anyone who focuses on hate is in league with the devil, the prince of darkness, the king of hatred. And my brothers and sisters, the devil is real. He's not the boogeyman. He is the real thing. And it has become a truism of our time to say, sadly, that our society is very polarized. There are extremes on each side of the argument who speak the words of hatred regarding the other side. The commentators on CNN and Fox do not throw rocks at the other side. They hurl boulders. They prod their listeners to embrace a hatred with those whom they disagree. And what happens with that? When you hate on both sides, nothing gets done. There's no work that gets done. Even within our own church. And I've been a priest 30 years. It's been May. It'll be in May, 30 years. I have not seen it this bad. The extremes with rocks in their hands, ready to hurl them at others. There are those who call themselves faithful Catholics who are in fact throwing stones at the rest of us. And those who among the rest of us who considers others a bunch of kooks who are disloyal to the Pope, and it goes on and on. Each side hurling stones of hatred. And this cannot be our way of reacting with those whom we disagree. Sadly, in human history, every 500 years or so, this seems to happen in human history. If you go back and if you read something that happened 500 years ago, it's happening even now. We cannot be this way. We cannot have hatred in our... Whatever happened to having a rational conversation with someone, even those whom we disagree? But you know, the Pharisees. The Pharisees were ready to stone the woman caught in adultery. They finally came. They finally came to a realization of what they were doing. And to their credit, and maybe with the Lord's gentle encouragement, they realized then their own sinfulness, and they turned away from the scene that they themselves have created. Notice in the story, the first ones to leave were the elders. They were wise enough to know that they were wrong. Perhaps their first steps toward their own salvation began when they walked away from the woman and from their hatred. We really don't know anything else about this woman. We only know for sure that Jesus told her to sin no more. Tradition says that the woman was perhaps Mary Magdalene, or maybe even Mary of Bethany. Mary Magdalene, because the story goes, is that seven demons were expelled from her. Today in the Eastern Church, they celebrate Mary of Egypt in the Eastern Church, a prostitute among the prostitutes, the head of prostitutes. I'll talk a little bit about more her next week when I talk about the Holy Cross and the salvation, what the Lord can do and still does for people in conversion. Whether it was one Mary, whether it was three Marys, we don't know. One thing that we know is that in all four of the Gospels, Mary Magdalene came to the Lord's tomb and was the first to experience the resurrection. Was this sinner caught in adultery? Was she the first one to experience the resurrection of Jesus? Was her life so transformed by the love of Jesus that she became one of his closest disciples? It seems so very reasonable that the power of love has the power to transform darkness into light and saints and sinners into saints, and it still can happen. We all have the power to transform others with our love, or we have the power to devastate others with our hate. We can all throw stones, or we can pick up the sinners. Many homes have been destroyed by the refusal of the spouses to forgive one another, or by the refusal of the parents or their children to forgive one another. Many of us choose to cling to hatred as though our suffering gives us the right to destroy the lives of others. But there are others of us who have taken the gospel today to heart, who are more concerned with love than our own feelings. A long time ago, I knew of a family in another parish where I served, but it could easily be this one. That a family who struggled to because of a mother's chemical dependency. The children of that had continual difficulty in school. We have children even in our own parish school that are having difficulties because of their own family life and their family situation. And the children acted out their frustrations in their classes. The husband, who was the breadwinner and also had to be the home parent, acted out whenever his wife was having a bad spell, was the family parent. And despite his loyalty to his job and to his work, he had to always do the bare minimum that his boss desired because he was always at home. He could have chosen to hate his wife for what she was doing to him and to the family, but he refused to hate. He continued to love her, taking her to doctor after doctor, psychiatrist after psychiatrist, dependency meeting after dependency meeting. And only after years of this, of the incidents, did his wife's bad spells become less and less. Only very slowly did the weeks between the incidents become months, and then the months became years, and his wife fully recovered, and the children survived. And yes, in many ways that their childhood was terrible, but in another way, there was a certain beauty, because they learned about the limitless power of love. And when they became adults, they realized how proud they were of their father. Yes, the power that you and I have to hurt is hideous and diabolical. But the power that we have to heal is also infinite. Think about that. If you're listening to us on the radio, if you're sitting in a prison cell, in a jail cell, if you're tempted to use again, think about the power that we have to heal. Even in that jail cell, we possess the power of Christ's love. We have this power, you and I. And if we have the courage to take a step from our selfish grasping into our hearts, and a step into love, the love of Jesus Christ, we too can join him in transforming the world. The life of the woman caught in adultery was radically changed by the man who challenged to judge her. He was more concerned with her than he was with the sin. He found reason to respect her. She found reason to respect herself once again, for when she learned from Jesus that she was lovable and she was loved. Jesus calls us to pick up our crosses and follow him. To pick up our crosses, we have to drop the stones. To pick up our crosses, we have to drop our stones. Blessed are the compassionate, for they will have compassion. God bless you.